Good morning, church. So the big news is that 6.5 months from now, about 6.5 months from now, we'll be celebrating our 25th anniversary as a church. It's amazing. Actually, maybe I should say really the big news is that Ryan and Taylor Hodges had their baby this week. That's probably the big news of the week. Beautiful baby boy. But where we're turning our focus for the time that we have together today is on the 25th anniversary news. 25 years of us as a church family, God's people here together, experiencing the faithfulness of our God together. And we're going to celebrate that officially on November the 20th, which is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, when it rolls around on the calendar. It all started that Sunday before Thanksgiving back in 1991. If you could beam yourself back in time and hear the conversations that were going on at that time, you would have heard stuff like this. Surely God doesn't want us to start a church. The last thing that Greenville, South Carolina needs is another church. That eventually concluded with something like, seems really apparent that God wants this to become a church. But if that's going to happen, it has to be a church that's focused on this community, ministering to the people right here around us, not a church that's focused on trying to serve itself. Community was an emphasis, hence the name North Hills Community Church. And that word community wasn't chosen as some way to avoid putting a denominational label in the name of the church. That kind of became a trend a few years later. It was actually chosen as like a specific mention of an intention when North Hills Community Church began. Right from the beginning, North Hills Community Church was committed to, one, faithfully, systematically preaching God's word rather than the opinions of a pastor, and two, full on embracing the hurting and broken people in our community. And for the past 25 years, wherever you want to drop into history and put your finger on North Hills Community Church, you'll find us striving to do those two things. Faithfully teach God's word, faithfully minister to hurting and broken people. And I would suspect that's why a lot of you are sitting here today. Because one, you like the teaching, and or two, you really like being a part of a community of faith that doesn't shy away from brokenness. That's who we are at North Hills. Like we, us, as in all of us at North Hills. That's who we are. That's who God has made us as a church. And 25 years later, we would say we're just getting started, right? As we walk through our 25th year together, we want to continue to aggressively pursue what God has put before us. We want Him to use our study in Romans this year to take us further into gospel living, deep and wide. And today we're going to get really specific about what that looks like between now and our big celebration on November the 20th. We have 5 specific, measurable goals that flow directly from our calling and God's leading that we hope that we can all unite around this year. You ready? Here we go. Goal number 1. Grow member participation in life groups to 1,100. This goal is about connection. Connection and community. We all know that if your church connection, and church is God's people, right? If your church connection is only the Sunday service, then you are definitely not getting everything. I mean, we faced this question head on in 1995, when we had grown to a whopping 300 people, and as leaders had to wrestle with, what does it mean to effectively shepherd all of these people? Like, how do you grow larger as a church and yet not see people fall through the cracks? Not pursuing discipleship and growth in their spiritual lives. The answer is connection. Like, real life, New Testament community. Having brothers and sisters in Christ who are intentionally connecting each other for the purpose of learning and growing together, caring for one another, and reaching the lost together. So we did something drastic. We canceled our Wednesday night prayer meeting back in 1996. Now, that probably doesn't sound drastic to many of you. Let me tell you, that was a huge deal. And in its place, we established life groups. So we didn't really cancel the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We just moved it from the church building, where we were averaging maybe 40 on a big week, into homes that met all over town. And immediately we had 200 of our 300 people participating in midweek, or during the week, community gatherings focused on prayer and care for one another. Since that time, we've always believed that these life groups are our primary vehicle for discipleship at North Hills. I mean, one version of church would be, I'm a Christian, I have some other Christians in my family that I'm connected to, I know some Christian people at work, they're my friends, and I go to a church on Sunday to hear a good message. North Hills is my church. That has definitely never been our version. We would say, I'm in relationship with God's people through a variety of venues, work, home, church, but I'm intentionally committed to my church family. I believe that God has joined me to his work at North Hills, and I believe he will grow me and use me in connection with the other believers at North Hills. I mean, this version values real community within the church family. And here that happens primarily in life groups. So let's be clear about a couple of things related to this goal. Number one, we are not trying to add people to our database. We are not trying to grow bigger as a church. That's not what this is about. We just want to be a real church. We want the people who are here or who say this is their church to be connected in community to one another. I mean, we don't think it's optional. And number two, we're not saying that there's a life group that is a perfect fit for you, or one where you'll make the closest friends you've ever made in your entire life. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, we don't choose a church that way because we found a best friend. Usually, most of us, we align with a church because God leads us to be a part of its vision and mission, right? It's the same when you link up with a life group. You don't have to stress about finding the perfect one, because you won't. There aren't any perfect ones, but you can be a part of an imperfect one intentionally and contribute to real community happening within that group. We are saying that being a part of North Hills Community Church is much more than just attending on Sunday. It's living out the truth of Romans 12:5, which says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So yes, we're connected to every other believer on the planet. But yes, we are uniquely connected to each other as members of this local expression of Christ's body. So much of the Christian experience flows from the community experience as distinct from the corporate worship gathering. On Sundays, we hear the word taught. That's awesome. But then in life groups, we work that word through the transformation circle together and help each other discover how to respond to that teaching through action in our lives. I was blessed recently to hear how God used the transformation circle exercise in a life group to apply Romans 2:1, which says, in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you practice the very same things. To reveal to a sister in Christ her anger and her desire for revenge. And as she shared that with the group, they surrounded her. They helped her think through her situation in light of the teaching from God's word. And then they supported her in the coming days as she chose to pursue reconciliation rather than revenge. I mean, you don't get that in a Sunday service. You get that in community. So that's why we've chosen this goal. Even though we already have a high percentage of our members who are involved in life groups, currently we have around 950 of our 1,350 members involved in life groups, which is getting close to 70%. That's a lot. Our goal is 1,100 members involved in life groups by our 25th anniversary Sunday. That would put us over 80%. That's a huge goal. And it isn't just the goal for the life group staff. It's our goal. It's for all of us, 1,100 members in life groups. So how can you participate in that? Well, I think obviously if you're a member and you're not in a life group currently, then move in the direction of life groups. And we do understand that some of you, like the reason that you're not is because you have some special circumstances that have really made it difficult, if not impossible, to connect with what you think of as a traditional life group setup. Our team wants to hear from you. They're very eager to work with you to figure out how you, in your situation, can be connected to a life group community. So, if you're a member and you're not in a life group, move in that direction. And then, kind of conversely, if you're not a member, but you're already involved in a life group, then move toward connections. Like, move toward that membership class to learn more about what membership would entail. You can go to the care booth in the lobby after this service, and there'll be people there that would love to answer questions that you might have or talk to you about either of those things. And if you're here and you believe that God is leading you to North Hills to be your church and you're not a member and you're not in a life group yet, then we would encourage you. We would love to talk to you about what it means to become more connected here. So 1,100 members in life groups by November 20th. You think we can do that? Yeah. Of course we can. Right? All right. Goal number two, baptize 100 people. Last year, we baptized around 50 people, which if you stop to think about it, is so exciting. I mean, it's not exciting because of the final number 50, but it's exciting because every one of those people that makes up that 50 is a real story of faith and transformation through Jesus Christ. 50 times last year, we had someone stand before us as a church family and say, I just want you to know, I belong to Jesus. He's changed my life. I mean, that never gets old. That never gets old. It is exciting every single time. And we were so blessed to experience it 50 times last year. Baptism is the symbol that Jesus gave us to testify or proclaim what he has done for us. And Romans 6, 3-4 helps spell out this symbol. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In other words, when we go down into that water, it's a picture of Christ dying to pay for our sins. That's what the picture is. And then those like few seconds or split seconds that we're under the water represent his burial, when it seemed like death and sin had won. And then when we come out of that water, soaking wet and beaming with the biggest smile you've ever seen, like that represents Christ's triumph over sin and death through his resurrection that brought him back to life. Like that proclamation of the gospel happens every time there's a baptism. That's amazing. One lady shared with me that her family started attending North Hills when she was a teenager. She had come to Christ a few years before, and it was during a baptism service at North Hills that the Holy Spirit touched her heart and said, "It's time for you, not your parents, but for you to go public with your commitment to Christ." She said, "It was such a huge moment for me to know that I was saying, this is it. There's no turning back. I'm following Jesus." And she proclaimed that to the church family here through baptism. And even now as an adult, she says she still looks back at her baptism as a very significant point in her spiritual journey. God has done that over and over at North Hills. He uses testimonies shared through baptism to call other people to himself. I mean, we actually expect that, don't we? I have a great story, baptism story from the early days. You want to hear it? So this goes way back. So there was a Sunday when we were going to have a baptism service because there was a husband and wife who had both come to faith in Christ. They were the only people in their extended families that had come to faith in Jesus. And they were going to get baptized that morning. They had invited their families. Some of their neighbors were coming. Some of their unsaved friends, because their whole world really was unbelievers. So we had all these visitors coming to hear them proclaim their testimony, to see them get baptized. And right before the service started, one of the deacons came over to me and Peter and said, "We're not going to be able to have baptism today." Well, let me hit the pause button. We were meeting over on Old Buncombe Road in an auditorium that actually did have what you would consider like a traditional baptistry. There was a baptism behind where the preaching happens, a hole cut in the wall so you could see it. So he said, "We're not going to be able to have baptism." This was an old building. "Something's not working with the water and we can't get it to fill up." And we just looked at him. I'm thinking of all these visitors here. And I said, "We have to have this baptism. Peter, you go into the service, you take care of that part, and by the end of the service, when it comes time for baptism, there will be water in that baptistry." We shook on it. So he headed into the worship service. I grabbed some guys, and we started running buckets of water from the restroom around the outside of the building, in the door, crawling up the stairs, pouring the buckets of water in so that we couldn't be seen. After about 20 or 25 minutes of that, I look down in there and I'm like, "This is never going to work. Like, at this rate, we will not have enough water in there to have a baptism." Plan B. This was before cell phones. I ran to the landline, tracked down a phone number to the closest fire department, called and said, "So we have a really interesting situation." And I explained it to the fireman on the other end of the line. I said, could you come now and run your hose in and fill up our baptistry?" And there was silence on the other end of the phone. And then he said, "Well, we respond to calls from old ladies to help them get their cats out of trees. I don't see why we can't help a preacher get the baptism filled up on the Lord's Day." I said, "Whatever you do, don't turn on the siren." That was my biggest fear. And just in the nick of time, while people are praising the Lord in song inside, we're running a hose up the steps and down in, get it filled up. He comes to me and he says, "Now, sir, it's not pretty. This is lake water. So it's brown, but it's not going to hurt anybody." So just as it was time for the couple to share their testimonies, I walked out onto the stage and gave them both a big bear hug and whispered in their ears, "We had to get the fire department to fill the baptistry. So the water's brown, but it's not going to hurt you, and the baptism's going to count just the same." And nobody knew what happened behind the scenes, but the gospel was proclaimed in such a powerful way that day through the vibrant testimonies of these new believers as they stood before so many people in their lives that didn't know the Lord and testified of his power. So what is this baptism goal really about? We're talking about 100 people going public with their faith. 100 people saying with Paul in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel," believing that it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And as believers share their faith through baptism, other people hear and see the gospel and respond. So this goal is also about people coming to faith in Jesus. People who don't know Jesus yet. And as we see new believers come to faith in Jesus, they will in turn testify of their faith in baptism. So 100 baptisms is kind of a both and goal. It's both taking the step of testifying to the church and also taking the step of sharing the gospel with the lost. So how can you participate? Well, consider baptism. If you've never taken this public step, then dig into what's holding you back. And just ask God to help you get to the bottom of that. There are baptism booklets in the racks of the lobbies that are designed to kind of help you walk through that process. There are people here who would love to talk to you. There's actually, we didn't plan it this way, but there's actually a baptism class this afternoon at 3:30 in room 106. Come and talk to somebody there. And then 3 weeks from today, on Sunday, May the 22nd, we will be having a baptism right here in this room. Be a part of that. We invite you to that. We encourage you toward that. And then for those of us who've already been baptized, let's share our faith with unbelievers in expectation that God will bring them to himself. Let's see new converts coming to faith in Jesus and being baptized this year. This summer, in our life groups, we're going to have a special emphasis on learning some specific tools designed to help us share our faith. I mean, the point of this is to try to help us all feel more comfortable and more effective as we share the gospel with the lost. I mean, what if every life group saw one person come to faith in Christ this summer as we go through? That'd be 70 people getting baptized right there. Maybe 100 is too small of a number. You know, I don't know what God's going to do, but we're trusting the Lord together for 100 people. Twice as many as we had last year to proclaim their faith in Jesus through baptism. It's going to be an exciting 6 months, huh? Yeah, I think so. Okay, goal number 3. Begin 3 evangelistic Bible studies for immigrants. Now, this goal gets more specific in terms of our local outreach. And it's in response to what's happening all around us every day. I mean, we have people from all over the world moving here to Greenville, South Carolina. In 2016, this year, World Relief will place over 100 immigrants, refugees, here in Greenville. We have one of the fastest growing Hispanic populations per capita of any county in the entire United States. Just people just moving here, coming here. If we're truly concerned about seeing the gospel reach every tribe and tongue, then we have wonderful gospel work to do right here in our own city without having to leave home. And really, irregardless of our political views on immigration. Like, this is not about public policy. This is about gospel proclamation to people who are right here on our doorstep, sharing the good news with people Christ loves right here in our community. Just last week, I heard a story of a pastor, this was not here in Greenville, who was helping with, I heard him share this, he was helping with an outreach to Muslim refugees in his area. They were having Bible studies. There's a Muslim man who came to faith in Jesus through coming to this Bible study, who invited another Muslim man that he met who had recently arrived in the country. So this man comes with him to the Bible study, and after it was over that evening, the man who had been converted said to his friend, "So, this was your first experience ever with Christian worship. It was the first time that you ever heard the Christian message." And this is what he asked him. He said, "What made you the most happy about tonight?" The Muslim man thought, and then he said, "I heard something tonight I've never heard before in my life. I heard that all of the other great world religions are based on man seeking after God, but that the distinctive of the Christian religion is that it's based on God seeking after man. Now, if it's true that God could be seeking me, that makes me very, very happy." I mean, this is a time in the life of many people where they're not just moving to a new city, they're moving to a new country. And there's an unusual openness toward establishing new relationships. So we're trusting God to use us right here in Greenville to connect with these people for the purpose of sharing the good news of Christ with them. As we heard last week in Romans chapter 3, the true gospel removes the idea of ethnic or religious privilege. The gospel strips us of boasting. Is God the God of the Jews only? Or like we could say, you know, the Greenvillians only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? We want to live out this truth right here in our own city. Our missionary to Indonesia, Jonathan Farmer and his family, happened to be here for this entire year of 2016. And Jonathan is already working to establish some relationships with some people right here in our city whose language he speaks, for the purpose of trying to establish a Bible study with them this year. We're asking God to do that times three before our 25th anniversary. So how can you participate? Well, we want to start today by collecting information that will help us all work together. So today, you can tell us who you know. Like, we all can compile our information. Tell us who you know that may be very open to this kind of a relationship. People who are new to the city from other countries that you know through your neighborhoods or through your work or through your contacts. Let us know who you know. Tell us what other language you speak. You may be just the person that somebody else could partner with to reach a particular group of people right here in town. And then tell us what ideas you have. I mean, we are confident that throughout our church family, the Holy Spirit will spark some really creative and good ideas about how to pursue this goal. You can visit the Go booth in the lobby after the service. There'll be people from the missions and outreach team there who would love to talk to you. If you would just pass on this information to us or let them know how you would like to be involved, or you can email Jonathan Stanley at the email that's given to you there on the handout. We would love to hear from you today. And our next goal, moves us beyond our local community to participate in gospel advancement around the world. And this emphasis is nothing new. I mean, missions has been a core component of who North Hills is right from the very start. In recent years, we've become involved in a missions effort that is such a perfect fit for us as a church. We've been helping create and implement a training program for indigenous pastors. Pastors right in their own communities who've never had access to training and how to study and preach God's word. Romans 10:14 says, "How will they believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching or proclaiming the truth of the gospel?" So through these training programs, not only are the initial pastors being trained, but then they in turn are required to train other pastors in their region. So it's like the gift that keeps on giving. We've been working in Ethiopia and Colombia, and this year, goal number 4 is to extend the indigenous pastoral training to Cuba and India. That's right, Cuba. Our close neighbor to the south, whose government has restricted any kind of gospel activity for decades, is now open. And India, the country with the largest growing population of non-Christians in the world. This is a very exciting goal. But first, let's look at what we've already been doing. Basically, this pastoral training program targets parts of the world in close proximity to unreached peoples and then recruits local pastors who commit to being a part of a learning group for at least a year, maybe more, during which time they will receive practical, interactive training that not only teaches but measures their growth in teaching the Word of God accurately. The transformation of these pastors has been phenomenal. Like, they come through the program with a deep conviction about the importance of biblical preaching and with a strong confidence that they can do it. It's empowering them to proclaim the gospel. We started in Ethiopia in 2010 with 2 training groups that totaled around 60 pastors. We've invested around $110,000 since then, and as of this year, the number of pastors who've received the training will exceed 2,500. Like, I know. I see that number, I'm like, what? That's the truth. That is really true. Like, 2,500 pastors. I mean, it's become a movement in this nation. And God gave us the opportunity to play a significant role in launching it, as well as giving us the opportunity to learn so much through these faithful servants of his. As we experienced the effectiveness of this missions tool, then we decided to take it to Colombia. We began in Colombia in 2013 with 12 pastors and have invested around $100,000. And as of this year, more than 400 pastors will have received the training in Colombia, and they are just getting going on the multiplication process. Now, we want to make the ambitious move of starting 2 more of these programs in Cuba and India. God orchestrated an important meeting for Tim Cassie from Frontline Missions with a pastor from Cuba. Tim connected us to this man and his associates, all faithful men who have endured persecution and imprisonment as they have led God's people in underground churches in communist Cuba. Our team has pursued this connection, and about 12 pastors are ready to begin the training in Cuba. And listen to this. Our team applied for visas openly as religious workers. I know, Cuba, but that's what's happening. India is a completely different situation. India is poised to overtake China as the largest population in the world within the next 6 to 7 years. With more than 1.32 billion people, India is home to 18.5% of the world's population. And less than 3% are Christian if we use the broadest definition for Christian. So we believe that a reproductive pastoral training program in this country is one of the most strategic missions moves we could make. I mean, this is really exciting stuff, huh? So as of Thursday, I thought I would be standing here at this point in the message saying, how can you participate? Pray for the approval of these visas for openly religious workers in Cuba. And then Thursday afternoon, bing, in my inbox came an email that said, the visas are approved. So the visas are there, and our team is going to Cuba soon. You know how these things happen. Yep, the visas are approved, and within the last couple of days, the dates have been set for May 15 to 23. In 2 weeks, 12 men who have been faithfully pastoring God's people with no access to any tools or resources or connections with the church outside of Cuba will sit openly in their own country with Alan Shearer and be taught how to study and preach God's word. How can you participate? Yep, that's awesome. So, how can you participate? This is it. Plan a specific prayer time or prayer meeting between May 15 to 23. Plan a personal prayer retreat. Like, block off time that week to labor in prayer for this effort. You know the enemy's not going to be happy about this. Block off time to pray. Plan a family prayer meeting. And I'm not talking about like just including it in a prayer at the meal, which would be great. But like, plan a specific prayer meeting for your family. Plan a life group prayer meeting that week to pray for this training. We can all participate that week laboring together through many different prayer meetings while the training is going on. And then we put Alan Shearer's email on your handout. Email Alan and tell him that you've planned a prayer meeting. Maybe even tell him how many people are going to be involved. Can you imagine telling these 12 pastors who have been disconnected from any other believers, while I'm here this week, there are 60 prayer meetings going on for you. Or who knows, maybe 160 prayer meetings going on for you. Like, all throughout this week, you are being loved and cared for in prayer by the people of North Hills Community Church. And our final goal brings us back from all around the globe to 4952 Edwards Road, Taylor, South Carolina. Goal number 5, pay cash for our expanded facility. So to tell you the truth, North Hills has never wanted to be about buildings and facilities. In fact, initially, we actually avoided any thought of purchasing land or buildings because we really wanted to stay free from what we believed would be a waste of time and energy and money on stuff like buildings. And then, as God grew our church, we found that we were to figure out the whole facility thing. I mean, at one point when we were meeting over on Old Buncombe Road, we were renting a facility where we could have our worship services, and it had a couple of classrooms in it, and it had some parking. Soon after that, we're renting the chiropractor's office across the street on Sunday so that we had additional parking and we could use the rooms inside for classroom space. And then we run out of parking again, and we're renting 2 more parking lots down the street in days. And then we're renting office space on Wade Hampton Boulevard. You get the idea. And so at that point, God opened our minds to see how possibly owning our own facility could be a freeing thing. And he miraculously opened the door. I mean, miraculously opened the door for us to get this property. And soon after, build our first building here in 1999. Then we built the second building in 2004. So we haven't done like a building project in 12 years. We definitely maximize the use of what we have. I mean, these rooms get shared by everyone and used for all aspects of ministry all the time. And 25 years later, we are still committed to staying lean on facilities and stretching them as far as we can. And we have finally admitted that we became overstretched again. So back in the fall, the church membership voted to proceed with a building project this year that will provide an office building for the staff, which will allow us to reclaim much of the space that's been eaten up by offices, adult classroom space, as well as expanded, much-needed expanded lobby, hallway areas, and even expanded auditorium. The point of the building is expanded gospel ministry. I was thinking about it this way. You know, church buildings in some ways are kind of similar to the church staff. It exists to facilitate and accelerate the growth and ministries of you, God's people. And this building has been designed with that purpose in mind. So now we're about to break ground, and we want to stick to our commitment to remain debt-free. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other." That's right where we want to be as we go through this building project. No debt. Free to respond in love. I mean, that is another big goal. But we are trusting God to do it. So we're still awaiting, you know how this goes, but we are still awaiting the final numbers. But we know enough to know that we're all going to need to do something extra to complete the building project debt-free by the end of the year. So, how can you participate? Give $500 extra designated to the building between now and October the 1st. $500. If that seems impossible to you, then think about banding together with other extended family members, maybe some close friends in the church, or even some people in your life group, and pray together that God would allow you together to give $500 as a part of our united worship this year. I mean, some of you will hear this, and you'll be immediately ready to give $500. You'll do it this week, and that will be awesome. You can do that through the website, or you can do it through your little North Hills app now, or through designating in the regular offering. You know, we normally don't do designated offerings at North Hills, but the elders have made the decision to accept offerings designated to the building for this year. Because churches don't like, a lot of times, designated offerings. They sound scary. You know why? Because of the fear that people will redirect what they're giving to the regular offering over to the special project. So I want to be really clear. This is $500 extra. That's what we're talking about. Beyond our regular giving. And not taken from what we would normally give to the harvest offering in November. Truly extra. $500 between now and October the 1st. Some of you, that's 5 months. So for some of us, it probably sounds a whole lot better to say $100 a month. Or for others of us, $25 a week. I mean, however it processes best in your mind and heart, take that before the Lord. This is our goal. All right, time out. Let's all take a deep breath, have a time out. I think that is the first time in 25 years as a church that we have ever done that. Seriously. We have this thing about not talking about giving, wanting people just to freely respond to the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. Like, we're not wanting that to change. But to be honest, we just did it. Like, we just put it out there, and the elders and the staff are excited about sharing this information with you so that as a church family, we can come around and watch what God will do. Like, that's the point. So if it feels a little uncomfortable, there's a good reason for that, because we just don't normally do that around here. But it doesn't mean that we should never do it. So this is really, really one of our goals. I mean, again, we don't have a final number, but we do believe if we all give $500 extra between now and October 1st, we will at least be close enough that we will be able to finish paying off the building through the harvest offering in the fall. So that's the big picture. Continue the regular giving, plan for the harvest offering, and ask God to help you contribute to an extra $500 gift between now and October the 1st. And one more thing on how you can participate in this whole building project. Stay flexible. Because building projects get messy. I mean, some things are going to get torn up around here, including this worship space. We have to put sprinklers in here, or we can't do the project. So our office space is going to get disrupted. I don't mean just for a week or two, like for a while. Our worship services will eventually get disrupted for a few weeks. And guaranteed, whatever your particular ministry is that uses this building will most likely get affected at some point. So if we all stay flexible and positive, we can get through this together, and on the other side have a vibrant, expanded facility that's directed toward expanded gospel ministry. And we want to do it in the process in a way that honors the Lord and each other. So that means we're going to stay flexible and be yes people, right? Yes. Sure, our ministry can do that. We can move. We can postpone. We can cancel. Sure, right? We got this. We're going to stay flexible as we move through this together. So we've covered a lot of exciting stuff this morning. And now the ushers are going to come and hand out cards for you to take with you and keep. I mean, there are cards that have our 25th anniversary logo on it. But then most importantly, it bullet points the 5 goals so that you can put it in a handy place as a prayer reminder and an attention getter for the next 6 months as we all pursue these things together. So as they pass out the cards, let's just review the 5 goals together. Ready? Here they are. Goal number 1, grow member participation in life groups to 1,100. Goal number 2, baptize 100 people. I thought I was going to get like amens for every one of these. Maybe we should start this over. Goal number 1, grow member participation in life groups to 1,100. Yes. Goal number 2, baptize 100 people. Yes. Goal number 3, begin 3 evangelistic Bible studies for immigrants. Yes. Goal number 4, extend indigenous pastoral training to Cuba and India. Yes. And goal number 5, pay cash for the expanded facility. Yep. So let's get started. Let's pray. Lord, we end this service the same way we began, worshiping you, thanking you, praising you for the amazing opportunity that you give us to participate in your ministries, hear your work here in this community and all around the world. We do not take that for granted. I mean, thank you for the opportunity this morning together to lift our hearts and our eyes out of our own life circumstances and our own personal goals and challenges, and to unite our hearts together as your people about what you're calling us to as a church family. We pray that this will be an amazing 6.5 months for us as we unite around these gospel-oriented goals. Lord, take us deeper, grow us wider, not just in our understanding of the gospel, but in our gospel endeavors, in our gospel activities. Give us faith, not just to believe in you, which we desperately want, but to believe in each other and to encourage each other as we together move toward these goals. Lord, you see each of our hearts. You know which of these we're drawn toward, which ones we kind of recoil from. And we each just bring our hearts to you and say, teach us and grow us through this process, not just as individuals, but as a community, as a church family. We so look forward to celebrating each step along the way, as well as praising you and honoring you for what you've done when we get to our 25th anniversary service. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.